This episode is brought to you by Audible, the worldwide leader in audiobooks. As a listener to our podcast, you can now go to audibletrial.com/coach to receive a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial with Audible. Choose from over 180,000 books to listen to on the go or while you're relaxing. You can show your support for the Coach Calls Timeout podcast by going to audibletrial.com/coach to start your free trial. I'll put a link in the show notes. Just a quick note before we start the show. We're still looking for stories about coaches who are doing a fantastic job encouraging their players and making the game fun. Here at Coach Calls Timeout, we understand how important that is for the development of young players and people. We want to celebrate those coaches, but it's going to take a team effort. Here's what you can do. Go to coachcallstimeout.com/stories. Nominate that coach and possibly get their story told on this podcast. Help them get the recognition that they deserve. Thanks, here's the show. You're now in the huddle with Coach Calls Timeout, the podcast that dissects the mind of a different basketball coach every episode. We uncover what makes them successful and how their story translates to your coaching journey. Let's unlock your team's potential together. Welcome to episode 16 of the Coach Calls Timeout podcast. Dan Jonker here. We have a fantastic guest for you today. Coach Roy Rana of the Ryerson University men's basketball program joins the show. Coach Rana started out as a high school coach at a couple of different schools, one of them being Eastern Commerce, where he won multiple provincial titles in his 9 years there. As a university coach, he's built the Ryerson Rams into a national powerhouse in the 6 years he's been the head coach. This season, he's returning from a one-year sabbatical where he got a chance to spend time with his family and coach's children. This past summer, he coached the Canadian national junior team to a silver medal at the under-18 FIBA championships in Chile. He also had a great experience shadowing the Atlanta Hawks franchise during the NBA Summer League. He's also coached the world team at the Nike Hoop Summit for 6 years, representing Canada well, and coaching for and against some of the biggest names in the NCAA and the NBA. In this episode, Coach Rana shares some great insights about starting a basketball program and the importance of building genuine relationships, and he reflects on a couple of his coaching mentors and his great experiences this summer. My brother Brian handles the interview. Let's get to it. Welcome to Coach Calls Timeout, episode 16. Brian Jonker with you. And as Dan stated in the opening, we've got a great guest for you today. Coach Roy Rana from the Ryerson University Rams men's basketball program is with us to talk a little bit about coaching. And Coach Rana, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
You had a very successful run at Eastern Commerce in high school to start your, well, I don't even actually know if it's starting your coaching career, but definitely in the public eye, your coaching career started in the 9 years at EC where you won four provincial titles. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started and why you got into coaching?
Yeah, well, I mean, it actually goes back to a ways before Eastern. I started my career at C.W. Jeffries in North York. And at that time, high school ball in Toronto was incredible. And McGlory's teams at Eastern were, at that point in time, were just in their prime. And I started in North York School and competed with likes like Bathurst and Runnymede and back in those days. So that was kind of my start. I started as a teacher. My dream was to win one city championship because I never did as a player when I was in high school here in the city of Toronto. And I managed to win a junior title in my first year, and it just became like an obsession, and the rest is kind of what it is. So it's been a fun ride. I'm a high school coach at heart. That's where I started. And, you know, that's kind of what I loved about the game was those relationships with those kids. And then obviously the thirst for knowledge in the sport has also kind of consumed me as well.
As a coach, you are a teacher. But if you're in the teaching profession and now going directly into spending all your time coaching, I guess it's just more you're involved every day in just the passion and the thing that you love to do is teaching the kids, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at this level, it's a little bit different. I mean, there's, you know, the demands of a program are greater. The handles that you have to get on admissions and recruiting and, you know, the academic piece, as well as, you know, now you have all these resources and you have to manage those resources. When you're in high school, you just kind of make do with what you got. So, it's been a little bit of a different journey, but you know what? At the same time, I'm loving it, and I enjoy that challenge as well.
So you, in a very short period of time, you're 6 years at Ryerson, you've built that program into a national contender. And before you got there, I think, to put it mildly, they were more than struggling. What do you think is the most important element or some of the most important elements that has allowed you to build the program as quickly as you have to where it is now?
Well, I mean, I think first you got to have a little bit of a dream. You know, you've got to kind of have that vision of what you want to build. And then I think you just got to be really committed and, you know, grind it out every day, building a culture that matches it, and then a technical system that flows from that. And I think if you can do those three things and figure that out, most likely you're going to build a winning program. And, you know, fortunately for us at Ryerson, we've had the right type of kid, the right type of character in our locker room, and we've built a great staff. And all those things are key elements in building a winning program. So I'm pretty excited about where we're at and very proud of where we've come.
And as you should be. I found on our end, and you just touched on it briefly there, in my early years at Mohawk, and I coached 9 years in high school as well, but in my early years at Mohawk, you're trying to make an impact right away, and sometimes maybe you take the odd talented guy with questionable character, and over the first 3 or 4 years, we chased it, thinking that that was going to help you. But in the long run, we realized, as you just said, the character of the individuals is really what allows you to take the next step. And when we started recruiting better people from better circumstances with good support systems, with interest in school, we found that that turned our program around. And it sounds like that's similar to you.
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, you have to have really strong character guides on your roster. There's no question of that. But, you know, where I started my career, my first job in education was, I was an alternative to expulsion teacher in North York. So my job was to take, you know, the most at risk in the board and try and reintegrate them back in the system. So for me, I've never been afraid to take on someone who maybe be perceived as, you know, poor character or low character kid. Sometimes the challenge is, you know, how do you take someone who really doesn't fit and make them fit? And I think that's really a sign of great culture because, you know, your team's involved in that. I mean, with, you know, I only have so many exposures with each kid, but if your locker room is basically, I don't want to say enforcing, but managing and encouraging your culture, then I think you got a great chance to make anybody work.
What's the most important element, do you think, as a coach when dealing and putting these pieces into place?
Well, I think, you know what, I think really it's about genuine caring relationships. You know, do you really care about that person that's in front of you, that athlete? When they believe that, and when your staff believes that, and when the people around you believe that, then I think you have a chance. Then, you know, you'll get some respect, and people will probably buy into your way or your vision. And I think it's all about that. It really comes right down to that. The relationships you have with your players and your staff and everyone around the program.
And the reality is, too, you can't fake it.
No, the kids
will see through it.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? And sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes, you know, it's oil and water, and people aren't a good match for each other, and that's part of this as well.
The next topic here, or subject, it's more of a 2 or 3 part question. You got your club to the brink of contending for a national championship, and made a decision to step away for a year, and then watch that same program win their first OUA championship. Your guys win that. How much contact did you have throughout last year while you were off? And when you were off, what did you learn? What did you do? If we can ask, what was the reason for taking the time off?
Sure. You know, first of all, it's the second time in my career I've gone through this experience. When I first came to Eastern, you know, I spent the first year kind of reshaping things there a little bit. And then I took a year off, and my wife and I traveled for 9 months and just put a backpack on and went around the world. That's the year Eastern won its first of the 5 Austin championships in my 9 years that I was there. So, you know, being in this situation this year and watching this group do what they did, this past year's group do what they did, it was incredibly exciting. I loved it for each and every one of those kids. Certainly, I wished I could be there. At times, that was tough. But, you know, you celebrate, again, all those relationships. I mean, it was an incredible year for Patrick. What he was able to do and what he's what he's quickly becoming. It's really exciting. And, you know, a guy like Aaron Betts, who I've had since I was in grade 11, he was at Eastern as well. To see him win a provincial championship is pretty special as well. So I think you enjoy it. You try to celebrate it. There's no doubt we're all human. You miss it. At times you want to be part of it. That's not easy at times, but at the same time, if you're in it for the right reasons, I think it's a beautiful thing. So it was a great season. What did I do? A lot of family stuff, to be honest. You know, my mom was ill. She passed away in April. I kind of spent some time there. Coached my kids first time. That was fun. Did some, you know, we did some work on our house. So took care of some things that I haven't been able to take care of. And then I spent some time with the Atlanta Hawks, and I basically shadowed their front office. I did some travel internationally, learned a little bit of that side of the game, and, you know, back in the Hoop Summit, back with our national team. It was a busy year. That's good. I got a lot done personally and professionally.
So let's, backtrack just real quickly for those who might not know, but Patrick Tatum, who was your assistant and who coached a team while you were away last year, has now been given an opportunity in the NBA Development League in Maine as an assistant there. So he's left. I would assume you'd be very proud of that.
Absolutely. You know, I think he's, you know, I was with Patrick when he first started out, and I've seen his growth, and it's incredible to see. He really has become a pretty special young coach. He's got a tremendous future ahead of him.
And you mentioned you were with the Atlanta Hawks for a brief time there, going, shadowing their organization. What types of things did you take from that?
Well, I think they're always trying to steal processes. They're always trying to find ways that, you know, it could be as simple as how does a team travel on the road? How do they load the bus to, you know, how do they scout talent all over the world? I mean, it could be very big. It could be very small. You're always looking for little things that can help you do what you do. So there was a lot there. You know, I had a chance to travel a little bit and see the game internationally at the professional level. That was really interesting. You know, I was in China for 2 weeks. I watched a bunch of CBA games. I did some clinics for Nike. I got a chance to really see that country and its basketball. So great learning, tremendous learning.
And you've spent a lot of time with our young national teams. Can you talk a little bit about where we're at with our you know, our under-18 national program and where we're headed in the future for our men's national program?
I think since that group in 2010 that won bronze at the World Championship in Hamburg that I was part of, with Pangos and Wiggins and Bennett and Chantier, Olivier Hanlon, that group, I think really big. It was the first group that helped us realize how, I don't think we even realized how good our talent was until that group did what they did. And it's just been an explosion since then. So, I mean, our youth age teams now are deservedly, you know, between anywhere from top 5 to top 2 in the world now, at least on the men's side, and I'd say on the women's side. So, you know, every time you go into a world championship now, there's an expectation that we're going to medal, and that's a good thing. It puts a lot of pressure on us, but it's a good thing, and these kids have embraced it. I think they believe it, and I think it's only just a matter of time before we see the same thing at the senior team level. I mean, we are very young, we're maturing, but you know, this group is, you know, led by Tristan and Corey and everybody that's going to be kind of attached to them. It's going to be a special group. I have no doubt about that. It's just hot.
So we had Butch Carter on our podcast last week, and we touched a little bit about international basketball. First of all, though, obviously when he coached Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady, I mean, I think we're now seeing the product of all the kids that grew up wanting to be Vince, and now they're 10, 15 years older, and these are the types of players that we're now seeing, like Tristan and Corey and guys that you've helped develop. One of the things that Butch did say, though, is his feeling was that as a country, we don't shoot it well enough. Do you share that, and what do you think can help change that?
Yeah, I actually disagree with Butch a little bit. I think actually we are doing a pretty good job developing a depth pool of shooters. Sometimes it's generational at the youth levels, but, like this team that was in Valdavia could really shoot the ball. I mean, we had about 5-6 guys that could shoot the ball. And I think as we evaluate talent at the national team level, that's become more and more important. That's something, you know, Jake Toronto's been, you know, stressing in his time. It's something that Leo stressed before him. I mean, we're always looking for shooters, and I think we're getting more and more, to be honest with you.
Let's change a little bit back quickly here just to philosophies and things. and strengths and weaknesses. We at Coach Calls Timeout, we did a whole session on one of our elements of our coaching roadmap is self-evaluation and self-awareness, being able to look as a coach in the mirror and ask yourself, what could I get better at? You as a coach, what do you think your strengths are and where do you think you could improve?
Well, I mean, you know, I could probably improve on every single area. I think, you know, in order to be good, you got to be confident in what you do, but you're always trying to improve that. I'm a defensive guy at heart. That's what I've always been when I was a high school coach and even here now at university. So, you know, I've tried my best to get better on the offensive side of the floor. I've tried my best to get better in ATOs. And I mean, there's millions of different, I try to get better in recruiting. I try to get better in my management style. I mean, that's a huge question. Right now, I'm searching a lot on the mental side, mental skills. I'm trying to get better in that area. So I think it's part of why we love being coaches is because you do have to challenge yourself to get better all the time. And it's a great opportunity to learn. So I don't know if that answers it. I'm trying to get better every way I can.
Do you have a coaching mentor when you first started getting into coaching? Was there someone who took you under their wing, or is there someone since then that you steal from, borrow from? I mean, we steal and borrow from everybody, but
right.
In general, is there a mentor or someone that you kind of look to?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, when I started, I really didn't have anybody because I just really wasn't connected to anyone. So, you know, my high school coach was a great teacher and he did it because he loved to put us in the gym, but his passion wasn't necessarily basketball 24/7 a day like it is mine. You know, as I've gone through my career, that's one of the things that I've tried to seek out, tried to build relationships to find that in my life and in my coaching career. I think one of my early ones was Tom Izzo. Kevin Jeffers, who was my assistant at Eastern for many years and took over the program when I left there. You know, him and I went up to Michigan State for 3 days and spent some time with Izzo. And for me, that was career changing in many ways because it was my first look at a professional coach and what a program looked like at that level. And it was tremendously impactful. Since then, I have a lot of friends in the NBA, I have a lot of friends in the NCAA. I try to reach out as much as I can. My true mentors right now in basketball, George Raveling is almost a father figure to me now. He's been so impactful in my life in many different ways. Steve Konchalski spent time with me every summer for the past 8 years. So much respect for him, you know, Canadian legend. He's seen it, done it, you know, at every level, you know, all over the world. So I think I'm pretty blessed just to have, you know, there's a few others, but I'm pretty blessed just to have those two people in my life to help kind of guide me and encourage me when I'm down and make sure I don't get too high when I'm up.
Those are certainly some big names and good mentors to have. As a fun fact there, you mentioned George Raveling, who is a great coach of the NCAA. And I don't know how many people realize, but he actually was handed, standing beside Martin Luther King when he did the I Have a Dream speech, and he was handed the speech.
Yeah.
You're less than one degree of separation from some pretty amazing historical moment there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually had Coach Rav come in and speak to our department about 3 weeks ago. And much of that moment in his life was, part of how he framed his discussion just on relationships. So, yeah, unbelievable man. Unbelievable man.
So you had mentioned in the past season or your time off here that you had a chance to coach your kids. How old are they?
Yeah. My son is in grade 8 and my daughter's in grade 6. So, you know, I didn't get a chance to do as much with my daughter's team as I liked, but I did get fairly involved with my son's team. And, you know what, it made me better as a coach as well. I mean, you kind of don't forget how emotional kids can be at that age and how challenging sometimes that whole mental piece can be. So it was a lot of fun, and it was a little challenging at times.
Emotional. My daughter's in grade 9 right now. So the past 4 seasons, I coached her team while I'm coaching my men's team. So I'd run from one practice to the other. And there was more than a few games where more than one or two people were crying for different reasons.
Yeah.
So it was a unique challenge, but a lot of fun. What did you find at that level now? You've seen it for a year and you're seeing the byproducts of it with your junior national stuff. What do you think could be improved on in the coaching aspects of the younger age groups?
You know, I first I'd probably say that, you know, I think we have we have tremendous talent coming up the pipeline, even at that age. And our coaches are getting better. Our coaches have done a very, very good job of developing talent. And not even developing talent, just making the game fun and wanting to have kids continue to play. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. So, I think we're doing well. I think we're providing more resources to our coaches. I think, coaches want to get better. So I think we're on the right road that way. And, you have some hit and miss. Have some people have different views on it, but I think all coaches, they have that open mind and they want to learn. And it's a pretty lucky person you are because you have that person working with your kids.
If there is one thing that I notice, though, I find, and I think it's, the wins and the losses matter too much, I think, at that level to some people. And I think at some point we lose a little bit of the skill development or the time that should be spent developing, those types of things versus the systems and worrying about whether you're going to win a game or lose a game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. There's certainly that element as well. And to some degree, our system is made that way when you have, a provincial championship for grade threes or fours, whatever it is. I mean,
right.
So, we still reward winning, which isn't a bad thing. But how you weight it can sometimes be a challenge for sure.
The thing is, too, I think people, they spend time worrying about the wins and losses and work on some system stuff when in reality, the process of making the players better would actually lead to a better chance for success with wins and losses.
Yeah. No question. Better players. We all know that we're only as good as our talent. So if you don't have good players, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're not going to win a lot of games.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen coaches lose with good talent, but I haven't seen coaches win without talent. You got to have some good players. I've taken up lots of your time today, so I'm gonna let you get out of here. We do one quick thing before we leave, though. We have what we call a full court press, where we give you a couple of quick questions, and we're just looking for one word or short answers.
Okay, can't promise I'll be able to answer all of them, but I'll try.
All right, it's not skill testing. I think you'll be all right.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Favorite visiting arena to play or coach in.
Visiting arena. I like the Rose Garden in Portland. Hoop summits have always been fun.
What do you prefer better, your home jerseys or your road jerseys?
Neither one. It's up to the players. They decide.
All right. What do you enjoy more, player development or game coaching?
Well, player development. I'm still, I love being one-on-one on the court still.
One player that you've coached over your years that if you had to draw a play up for at the end of the game, you'd give the ball to?
Jamal Murray. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
He's probably the best, the closest thing we have to a natural closer in this country.
And when you talk about up-and-coming shooters, there you go.
Yeah. He's a pretty nice guy to be able to draw a play up for a later game.
Yeah. If you could be an assistant coach for any head coach, past or present, in any sport, who would you choose to sit on a bench for a day?
Maybe Tom Landry. Big Cowboy fan when I was growing up. He always kind of intrigued me by that, the way he dressed, the hat. He's just so stern. Love to be able to get into that one.
That's funny. Butch Carter said the same thing.
Really?
Wow. He did.
Okay. Wow.
All right. And finally, because we're actually going to play each other, I'll ask you this question and hold you to it. Well, first of all, I'll pray it even comes to this situation. Up three. 5 seconds left. Other team's got the ball. Are you fouling?
This stage in the season, no. We're going to defend.
Okay. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule for us today, and I think our listeners will have gathered some valuable information in coaching, and it was interesting to hear some of your experiences. So thanks very much.
Appreciate it, Doug. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you tonight, Roy.
All right.
Take care.
There you have it. As we've talked about in this podcast, episodes 8 through 14 are basketball coaching roadmap episodes. Building relationships should be the number one priority of every basketball coach. Coach Rana's emphasis on building relationships has turned the Ryerson Rams into a national power in the short time he's been there. You heard in the interview that Coach Rana was the head coach for 9 years at Eastern Commerce High School. What you didn't hear, and you may already know, but Eastern Commerce was an historically successful basketball program in Toronto. I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't mention the documentary called Eastern. It follows Eastern Commerce's last chance at winning a championship as the high school closed its doors last year. There's a screening of the documentary in Toronto in the Distillery District for those that are close by on Thursday, October 27th, 2016. The documentary has received great reviews. I'll provide a link in the show notes where you can buy tickets. If you enjoyed what you've heard, we'd appreciate it if you could rate us on iTunes. It really does help other coaches find us. Or you can share this page, coachcallstimeout.com/16, with someone who may be interested. Here at Coach Calls Timeout, we're a basketball coaching resource built to help coaches improve their personal and technical skills. If you're interested in what we do, we have more resources than just this podcast. You can go to coachcallstimeout.com to learn more. There's even a free 7-day trial of our membership program that you can take advantage of as a podcast listener. Just use the coupon code PODCAST when you're signing up. We currently have over 100 video plays and drills available for all game situations, ages, and skill levels, and we're adding more videos every month for our members. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again in 2 weeks to pick the brain of another great coach. See you then.